This is Twit.
Is Apple... actually, this opens up an interesting kind of philosophical discussion. Is Apple appeasing developers over the App Store? It's interesting to see people like Marco Arment furious at Apple and then others saying, we're so grateful to Apple. There isn't a unified feeling among app developers that Apple's either doing it exactly right or exactly wrong. Is there, Renee? What is your sense of that?
It varies. I think a lot of people, and it's varied over time too. Like I went back and looked at a lot of the early sentiment when the App Store was announced and people couldn't believe the kind of deal that they were getting. A lot of people couldn't believe the kind of deal they were getting because the previous deal was so much worse. But over time, over a decade, you know, a lot of things have changed. A lot of things have matured. The market has matured, and maybe Apple hasn't matured as much as they would like along with it. So I think the environment now is very different, and you still have some people who feel like they can easily make an app, you know, built on all of Apple's frameworks, a lot of the stuff that Apple provides, and make a really good business. And others who see the popification of apps, almost like the popification of music and news and everything else, and the value completely gone, going from scarcity to abundance, and that it's really, really hard. It's like getting a hit music single now to get a hit app. And they probably resent that apps, you know, became a mainstream thing the way that they have.
Yeah,
I just know some developers, and I don't know all the developers, but I know some folks that are never thought that they'd be making apps and are now making like $50,000 a month.
Right.
You know, like doing it. And they're like, this is pretty good, you know, and they, you know, there's a lot of folks that have benefited from this. I mean, I think that we just have to keep on. I mean, nothing is ever perfect. Like we have this thing, like, is everyone happy with Apple? No one's ever going to be happy. Not everyone's going to be happy with Apple. I think that the thing we saw in the congressional fiasco was the 30% of developers are unhappy with Apple. That's actually, I thought, pretty good. So, I mean, if only 30% are upset about something, because it's just like, they're not going to make everybody happy, you know, like, you know, and it's, and I think that and again, as someone who's developed on the Apple platform, you know, over the last 20 years on and off, and I'll be putting something else on soon. You know, I just don't know if people have perspective, you know, on how hard it used to be to do this, you know?
Yeah, but there's an area that we can talk about that comes down to, are they happy with the tools that they're given? Are they happy with the fee structure? Are they happy with the rate at which Apple is releasing new features? Should they be releasing new features through the App Store instead of always through an annual debate? But there's also the simpler damn things that come down to, like, why is it that when you have developers who are, like, first round elected pick Hall of Fame developers who've been, if you were to name 12 different Mac apps that are uniquely Mac, you would find these names on that list. And even today, I'm not going to quote a name because I'm not sure that this person wanted to be put onto a podcast, but just saying that, oh, App Review is just this absolute worst, most horrible thing we ever have to do. And I know that this person is having a bad day. It requires an incredible amount of emotional labor to deal with spurious App Review rejections. I'm quoting here. This is just this morning. This was like 2 hours ago. This is the sort of stuff that gets developers just all pretty salty and frosty against Apple. They should be better at App Review right now than they were like 3 years after they launched the App Store. They should have fixed these problems. If they're not fixing it, then they've got a problem that they just don't care that much about.
And I'm curious what the specifics are, because I posted an app for something I was working on last fall, and it took 8 days. And it was, you know, there was a couple things that got kicked back, and then it was fixed, and then it was through. You know, and it was available.
Yeah.
You know, and I just, yeah. And so the thing is, when people say it, I'm kind of curious, I'm always curious, like, what was it that had it? Now, we wrote it very, very carefully with a, you know, highly organized team to put it together, and it was extremely clean code and a relatively straightforward thing to do. But it was like, I'm curious, because it was so easy. I was warning the folks who were working with it. It was like, this could take a month, you know, and, you know, like, I don't know how long this is going to take. And it just kind of sailed through.
the historical problems that I always have when I'm talking to these people, and mostly I'm talking to like a couple of dozen, three dozen people I call friends who I've known for like 10 or 20 years who've been developing for Mac and the iPhone. When it comes down to you told us, I actually have an email from you from 2 weeks ago saying that if I changed my app this way, it'll sail through without a problem. That was the problem that you were having. And now you're telling me that's being denied specifically because of this change that you yourself just told me to make. And it's at some point when you keep hearing these stories, I'm so glad I'm not a developer, because it's just, what else can I do for a living that doesn't involve it's almost as though, you know, they're playing with developers for sport. And when you have 30% of the developers who are saying that they've got problems with the way that Apple handles the App Store, not all of them feel as though they're being, you know, led around on a chain like that. But nonetheless, that's like, if a third of your workforce said that, Alex, I don't think you're a good boss, I don't think it's good working for you, I don't think we'd start talking about the problems with the developers. I think we'd start talking about the problems with Alex.
I hate looking at anything in like a spherical imaginary cube. So I asked a bunch of other companies to see how this problem scales, and I want to divide it into two things. One, there's just the jackass stuff, which, you know, like when they'll say we're gonna reject this widget app because we don't want anyone else to make a widget app like it, and that will clearly send a message so they don't have to actually go on record saying anything. And I think that's garbage, you know, never treat anybody that way. But then, like, you talk to YouTube about dealing with YouTube content at scale, which is even bigger than the App Store, and there have been cases over the last week where people had their whole accounts shut down, their entire livelihoods, completely incorrectly, and they got a human review and it was still upheld and they had to appeal it, and eventually it got overturned because it was just on the face wrong. And you look at the App Store numbers and you look at the YouTube numbers, and they're catching, you know, 20 million bad things every day, scams and spams and all these things, but they're still screwing up. And they'll tell you, anyone involved in the system will tell you, they don't know how to get it better. The more they ratchet it down, the more garbage gets through, and the more they ratchet it up, the more false positives they have. And there's probably a better system. Like, you look at it and you say instinctively, just look at the top 100 apps. Just fix the top 100 apps. Fix the YouTube trending page. Like, do any of those, you know, simple things. But they're operating with billions of dollars and, you know, millions of people, and they haven't been able to solve it.
Well, I'm not sure. You know, I think that's a good point.
My channel, PixelCore, my channel PixelCore was out for 4 months, and I know people to call. like, you know, on YouTube. And they just couldn't figure out why. You know, and then they couldn't fix it. You know, so this is not an isolated case in software.
It's not at all uncommon. Yeah.
You know, go
ahead, Andy.
The only point that I would make that it is a problem everywhere at scale. This doesn't mean that Apple doesn't have a responsibility to try to attack this problem better than they're doing. But the bigger thing is that the difference between YouTube and the App Store is that you submit an app to the App Store, it doesn't go directly onto the App Store. It simply has to go through a review process before it even has a chance to find its legs. With YouTube, the policy is that, look, it goes up. If it violates a policy, then we take it down. Or if someone inflicts a copyright strike, we take it down. If someone makes a complaint, we take it down. It's not as though people are being prevented from uploading their first videos. It's at the rails are greased towards making sure that you can put your content up there until something gets in the way after you've posted it that says that it should be taken down. And that's not for reasons of, it may be possibly because of certain reasons of scale, but a lot of it is simply because they have a legal obligation to make sure that to protect themselves with Section 230, to make sure that when there is a complaint, when there is something that is improper, when there is something illegal, that content gets taken down in a speedy manner. And the reason why that a lot of YouTube creators are victimized, and I do use the word victimized, by Google's copyright strike policy and the taking down channels, is because in this case the natural flow of water is towards, if a piece of video is problematic, that video comes down, because that's the way that when you're dealing with 500,000 videos coming in on a 1 hour basis or a 1 day basis, that's the only way to keep ahead of it. That's the only way to make sure that you're not going to be shut down on the basis of not keeping living up to what you agreed to when you agreed to these terms.
Both now. Like, they'll content ID you before you go up. Like, you have to pass through the check system now first. And if you don't pass the check system, you have to change something or you can't go live. But mostly the accounts are being terminated now because they're false flagged for spam. There's a ton of spam where people are using false usernames and YouTube gets confused and thinks you're the spammer, even though it's people emulating you. Being like, there's no part of the internet that we can have nice things on anymore, including app stores and YouTube.
And I think that the thing is that it's harder for the reason that Apple makes it harder for the developers is because it's easier for the user. So the user has a lot less to worry about when they download things and they start to use it. And Apple has always been flat out that they prioritize the user over the developers. Like, I don't think Apple has ever said anything else, because that is the lifeblood of the platform. It's why people buy so much stuff on the App Store, is because when you buy it, you know that it's not going to do a lot of things that happen on the Android, on the Play Store. You know, and so the thing is that developers are having a hard time getting it through in some cases. Again, I haven't experienced that on the stuff that I put up, but I hear that it does happen. But on the other side of that, as a user, you know, I've gotten to the point where I will barely download, and if it's not a well-known company, I will barely download anything off the internet to install on my computer. Like, I just don't trust it.
That's smart, you know. And actually, so, I mean, yeah, like, certainly it has to be background checking before you do that.
But the problem with that is that without that, you can be a very small developer, an individual developer, putting something up on the App Store, and you have to go through all these hoops and you have to do all those things. But you get that implicit trust that Apple has looked at it. Are they perfect? No, but the user will give you a chance. I will download something on my phone much faster than I'll ever do anything on my computer, because the computer, from my perspective, is the wild, wild west. So it has to be a well-known company, or I'm not going to buy their product anymore on the computer. On a well-protected, highly closed, gated community of the App Store, I look at something, oh, that looks cool, and I download it. Like, I'll play with that for a little bit, you know. And I believe as the user that there's a very limited number of bad things that can happen. I'm not saying that nothing bad can happen, but very few bad things can happen compared to what I would download on my computer. And I think that that's what Apple's protecting. And I think that we underestimate how valuable that is when we start talking about wanting to mess with the App Store.